From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. This week, a 20-year-old California college student named Yasser Afifi took his car in for an oil change. There, mechanics found a strange device attached by magnet to the undercarriage, a device called an Orion Guardian ST-820. That's a GPS tracking device that had been placed there by the FBI as part of a terrorism investigation. Agents this week found themselves in the embarrassing position of demanding that Afifi return their super double secret gizmo. He did. But what about satellite tracking an American citizen's every movement? Is it legal? Do authorities need a warrant? At the moment, that depends on where you live. Aaron Kerr is a law professor at George Washington University, where he's been following this issue. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with the recent California circuit decision. What happened there?
That was a case in which the government wanted to monitor the location of a person who the government thought was involved in growing marijuana. And so the government installed a GPS device about the size of a bar of soap on the suspect's car in his driveway. The government used that information to show that he was, in fact, near where the marijuana was growing and to show his involvement in the crime.
Worked like a charm, in fact. But the defendant appealed on the grounds that the tracking by GPS constituted a warrantless search and a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
The court did not agree that it was an unconstitutional search, but Judge Alex Kaczynski, a particularly influential judge on that court, said that it should amount to a search because GPS surveillance is just so different from any other kind of outside surveillance we've seen before. And there's been a disagreement more broadly among federal judges and state judges as to how the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution should apply to this new kind of GPS surveillance.
For example, there was a decision by the District of Columbia that found unequivocally that GPS tracking does constitute a search and does require a warrant. How did that district look at a very similar set of facts and draw such a different conclusion?
The D.C. court came up with what's really a pretty novel theory of how to apply the Fourth Amendment. Their view was that you look not at whether a particular act by the government invades privacy, but rather whether a set of acts over a period of time invades privacy. So the D.C. Circuit Federal Court of Appeals said that installing a GPS device for a short period of time is not a search, but once it happens over a long period of time, in that case 1 month, eventually you get to a point where the government gathers so much information that invades someone's privacy. It's really the accumulation of evidence over time.
Yeah, you had a pretty hilarious line in your piece. You know, you were wondering what miraculous technology the government was able to determine when enough data had been collected as to render it a Fourth Amendment search. You said, what do they have, an aggregatometer?
Yes, this is the problem with saying that over time, eventually the line gets crossed is, okay, you're a police officer watching somebody. When's the line crossed? You need to know that in order to know how to follow the Constitution. And for that reason, the Supreme Court has emphasized that the rules need to be clear. The real question here is, does installing a GPS device amount to a highly invasive search akin to entering someone's home, or is it more like observing somebody in public? And that's the kind of issue that the courts have really divided on.
It seems to me that the analog that is most obvious is the difference between a GPS search and having a bunch of policemen in unmarked cars staking out a suspect and just following them all over creation. What makes a GPS search different than just an ordinary tail?
The idea is that GPS surveillance is so easy to conduct and is so detailed that it just is in a separate category. So in a pair of Supreme Court cases in the early 1980s, the Supreme Court said that beeper surveillance, in those cases it was installing a radio device that determined location, that in that case it was no search, it didn't trigger the Fourth Amendment, unless the government was obtaining information about where the device was inside a home. As long as the government wants to only monitor the location of a car on a public road, no search. But, the Supreme Court said, there may be circumstances where we're talking about a real dragnet where we might have a different result.
So I got to tell you, I am so at a loss to figure out the difference between GPS technology, which obviously is now ubiquitous, and a homing device, a beeper that doesn't operate by GPS but by radio waves and accomplishes approximately the same thing. How is that different?
Those who say there's a difference make this argument. They say, listen, a radio beeper requires a government officer to be following the car in real time whenever the beeper is being used. The location is only a radio signal that has to be intercepted by a police officer following the car. In contrast, if you put a GPS device on somebody's car, you could monitor them for a month, for 2 months, wherever the car goes. No need for an officer to be there. And as a result, the tool is just that much more dangerous because even though the information that is obtained is the same, there's just a greater risk of abuse.
You know, is it possible for Congress to step in and write a very clear statute to set simply a lower threshold of warrant for that kind of search as opposed to going into my house and rooting through my drawers, leaving it for the courts simply to rule whether it's constitutional or not? Is that a possibility?
It's absolutely a possibility. One big issue here, where is Congress? The way the Constitution works in the Fourth Amendment setting is that there's either a warrant protection or there's no protection. There's not a whole lot of middle ground. In contrast, the Congress can enact all sorts of middle grounds. And there's been some hearings about this question recently before the House Judiciary Committee. They can look at this and maybe require slightly lower threshold court order than a warrant. The courts don't really have that luxury.
Aaron, thank you so much.
Happy to join you.
Aaron Kerr is a law professor at George Washington University and a blogger at the Volokh Conspiracy.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.